This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chat Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking with Marvel Comics editor Heather Antos, all about the new Star Wars comics. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we get too much further, with us today is band leader Bria.
Hey, everyone. I think it's been a while, but hi.
We had you on for Phantom Menace. That wasn't
that long. That doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
And like we said, our guest, Heather from Marvel, is here with us today.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Heather.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
You put out a Twitter thing for saying you wanted to come on Star Wars podcast, so we were more than glad to... We're more than glad to answer.
absolutely.
So the obligatory first question we ask everyone who comes on the show is, how did you become a Star Wars fan?
For me, it was definitely growing up watching movies that my dad showed me. We were always really into, we started with James Bond and he showed me, the Indiana Jones, and I was really into those. So from there, he branched me into Star Wars. And, you show a 5-year-old a glowing laser sword and I'm hooked.
Cool. So it's pretty much been a constant that you've had in your life.
Oh yeah, Star Wars and comics and all things geek culture have been, there from the beginning for me. So yeah, it's very, very much part of my life.
Awesome.
Very cool. And before we venture in too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Fill out your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And they just sent out a press release today saying that Her Universe will be at D23, and they have a few new t-shirt designs, both Star Wars and Marvel. So, very fitting.
Another reason to stay tuned for D23.
Yes.
All right, as we traditionally start on the show, new on the blog, Nancy, give us the rundown.
Well, we talked about this a bit last week, but we reviewed Under the Empyrean Sky, which is Chuck Wendig's YA series.
Self-described as corn punk.
Yeah, corn punk. It's a new genre. Get with it.
What is that?
It's
steampunk, but with corn.
Well, no, it's not steampunk because it's not set in the... It's a... dystopian society. It's pretty much, it's called the Heartland, so it's pretty much supposed to be like
Midwest,
but it's been overrun by corn, and like corn has taken over the land, and all the rich people live in flotillas that fly overhead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So we reviewed that, and you're way ahead of me now, Brian, in the series.
I'm 3/4 of the way done. Jeez. With the second book.
Oh, man, I need to get started. I'll read it this weekend. If you didn't see on Twitter, Chuck Wendig has started outlining Aftermath Book 2.
Which means the return
of Chuck Wendig's Star Wars tweets.
Of the ever-wonderful Wendig spoilers.
Bria reviewed Darth Vader number 8, which just came out yesterday. And we have our Attack of the Clones commentary up on the feed right now. So if you want to go grab a copy of your Blu-ray and watch along with us, it was a lot of fun. And we're recording Revenge of the Sith next week, but we'll have it up at the end of the month when we can't podcast for a few weeks.
We've got one person locked down for that recording. We're working on snagging another, but we'll announce more when we have more information.
Mm-hmm. And also coming up, we will also be... Brian, you're working on that project.
I am working on this project. In September, we are launching a new podcast on the site. We're still working out a name, but essentially this is going to be a Star Wars tabletop gaming podcast that will feature...
What?
Yep. Yep. It's going
to feature... I used to play Star Wars tabletop games, so I'm really excited about this.
Our podcast last week was all about tabletop games, and they convinced me to start playing. So.
And this show will be featuring a rotating panel of players.
Yeah, so Heather, you can come on too and play with us.
Absolutely, anytime.
So, yeah, Nancy and myself will be the two regular seats, and at least for the first campaign, I'm hoping for more than that.
Well, I think Jay has said yes, he wants to play. He was on our guest last week.
Well, I think we can say who our GM is.
Yes, we can. Tom from Del Rey is going to be our GM. He has graciously, although it's not really a GM, it's GM.
Game manager, yeah.
He will be our game manager, so it should be fun.
I'm very excited. We're hashing out the details now. We're probably going to launch this late September.
Yeah.
It'll be after
Dragon Con.
Yes. It'll be.
I can't imagine why.
It'll be an hour and a half to a 2 hour session per recording, and it'll be in serial formats. So we'll break the campaign down into 2 hour chunks. That you'll get into your podcast feeds.
Help. help.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
And on that note, it's time for Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. Nancy, what do you got on your plate?
I am knee-deep into space stuff because I'm brainstorming a new book, and it's about space. And so I have to read books about rocketry and propulsion and... space history and watch from the earth to the moon and all these horrible things I hate.
Oh no, you hate that.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been watching from the earth to the moon, and I've seen it I don't know how many times, but
I think next I'm finally going to get you to watch that Discovery series, When We Left Earth.
Yes. And we also watched the pilot for The Man in the High Castle, which is a new Amazon series that's coming out in November, and it was really excellent. If you're a fan of alt history or any of that kind of genre, it's awesome. It's basically what if the Axis powers had won World War II. It's set in the 1960s, and it's based on the Philip K. Dick book. So... definitely, yeah. Go watch it. We both loved it.
Series pickup, and it's going to premiere regularly on Amazon in November.
In November, they're releasing all the episodes. So, yeah. Brian, what about you?
Me, I've been reading, like we said, a whole lot of Chuck Wendig's Blightborn, second book in the Heartland trilogy. It's very, very good. And again, if you have any concerns about Aftermath being written in present tense, go read these books. You'll see that Chuck Wendig is the master of that tense form, and put your mind at ease. I've also been playing with Windows 10, which released last week, and let me just say it's really cool to be able to stream my Xbox One to my Surface in bed.
Sounds like a fortune cookie.
You're having way too much fun with that.
I really am. That's pretty much it for me, though. Bria?
Well, I watched all of Spartacus, which is surprisingly feminist for a show where people get killed graphically and boobs are everywhere. But I call it, you know, equal opportunity nudity, because there's also Southern other anatomy everywhere. But it's a good show, fun fact. And because Dragon Con is coming up, I've been sobbing over costume construction. I have paint drying on things. I have no idea what I'm doing right now. So par for the course. And aside from that, Lucasfilm kind of sucks because they released the updated version of Knights of the Republic 2 in the last couple weeks. I will give you one guess as to what I've been doing.
So how many hours have you logged?
over 20.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm at 25.
Yeah, that's why I never used to do slash played when I played Warcraft, because then I just go, what have I been doing with my life?
It tracks it for you. I can't help it.
Ugh.
I was very invested in making Atten a Jedi and flirting with him and then dragging him down the dark side with me. You get to manipulate him. It's fun.
As long as you have solid life goals.
I think it's a pretty good life goal. Probably not. Never mind.
Heather, we also have our guests chime in here with any of the geeky things they've been up to.
Well, I've been making comics.
I guess that counts.
That's geeky.
Yeah, something like that. No, recently I've been getting really I'm really into the Assassin's Creed video games. And so in, preparing for the new Assassin's Creed Syndicate game, I've gone back and I'm currently replaying through Assassin's Creed 2 right now. And that's taking up all of my free time. Lots of fun, but yeah, making Star Wars comics, that pretty much takes up the majority of my time.
Cool. Awesome. So, moving on to news, Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom. There's not a lot, because I guess apparently between conventions, there's not a lot of news. Go figure.
All of the press people need time to hibernate between large conventions.
Yeah. D23, I think the schedule came out, and there's the big film panel, which is pretty much all of their live action properties, not just Star Wars, but they will be talking about Star Wars, and it does say just Star Wars, so people are wondering what else they will mention, if they're going to mention anything about Rogue One. Now that Rogue Nation is out, they can do that.
I'm still confused. Where are the X-Wings in Rogue Nation?
Yeah. But hopefully we will have some news next week, because we'd want a podcast about it. But they did announce that there will be a new release and packaging for the Blu-rays, which, if you haven't bought them already, okay, cool. I thought the packaging was pretty cool with the Vader on the main set. The Steelbooks were kind of interesting because they've got a character on each of them, which I took one look at it and I said, fandom's going to be complaining about which characters you put on each movie, right? Why would you do that?
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw it. I was like, really?
Huh, those characters, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even like, surprised.
That's who you chose to represent that film.
Yeah. Where is Luke Skywalker?
Right.
But I just find it really, really amusing that they're still calling it the Complete Saga. Because, yeah, I noted that when we were watching the Attack of the Clones and I looked at the Blu-ray box and I said, no, it's not. And now they're re-releasing it with the same subtitle. And I was just like,
I'd consider getting these for the tin art if it came with a free copy of the digital editions. Yeah, but short of that, I'm not sure if I need another copy of the Blu-ray disc.
Yeah.
Oh, well. let's see. Oh, yes. In Battlefront news.
So pretty!
The Fighter Squadron mode was revealed.
So, I'm sorry. Tashi Station Radio will be canceled come November. Because we will lose Brian to the game forever.
Well, Nancy, the good news is now you don't have to worry about me bothering you during Nano.
I know. That's very convenient. And I'm really glad that they're doing that.
Because I'm going to be entirely too busy flying X-Wings.
Yeah. So if you don't know, there's a fight or flight mode to Battlefront where you can fly starfighters with online multiplayer, and you do 40 people, you can do like 12 people. It's crazy. And yeah, I want to
unlock the Millennium Falcon in Slave 1. Yeah.
Although I will say that they had they had some lady pilots in the
yes
they did the A-wing
pilot. And one of them sounds like Vanessa Marshall. And I didn't get a confirmation if it was her, but it sounds very much like her.
What if you could unlock the ghost?
Yes, make that happen.
Make it so.
I'll get right on it. Wait, did anyone else cry just a teeny, teeny little bit when they watched that video for the first time? Or is that just me in the hallway at work?
I don't know if Brian cried, but I heard yes. him squeal across downtown Orlando.
it was a loud squeal that woke up our dogs from 40 miles away. and then crying.
So yeah, we're all very excited about that. I think that's the one video game thing I'm excited
and
about.
And remember, if you pre-order your copy of Battlefront, you'll get early access to the Battle of Jakku.
Woohoo! Yay.
Which is a note that I'll be pre-ordering. And yeah, that's it for the news. Tune in next week after D23, because hopefully we'll have a little more.
Hopefully.
We do have our Biggs Bullshite segment, in which we talk about Star Wars film news and rumors. And we start with a rumor about The Force Awakens Blu-rays potentially being released on April 26th. And holy crap, we're already talking about the Blu-rays.
Yeah, that weirded me out. I was like, no, you can't talk about Blu-rays before the movie's even out yet. Stop it. And then I'm thinking, I'll be able to come this time next year. I'll be able to just watch the movie whenever I want.
You know,
that's weird.
I bet I can use the Blu-ray release of The Force Awakens to talk Nancy into letting me buy a projector.
No!
That's excessive.
No.
They're only a few $100s.
No. And also, J.J. Abrams was on The Daily Show to talk about Rogue Nation. So, of course, all they talked about was Star Wars. And that's literally how Jon Stewart started the interview. He's like, so, Rogue Nation, let's talk about Star Wars. And apparently, when Harrison Ford broke his ankle, J.J. Abrams also broke his back trying to lift the thing off of him.
The door.
Yeah. So what the heck was going on?
I think that set was cursed.
I can't believe that didn't come out until now.
My favorite is he kept it quiet.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it was great. The back brace, it was like wearing Spanx. Yeah. It slimmed everything down.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder who else like got injured on that set.
I'm looking forward to the press tour for many reasons.
Episode 8 will have a triage room.
I'm betting like Oscar Isaac sprained something. Maybe Dom Hall broke a toe.
Me and I like to think that Daisy was the only one who didn't get hurt.
I like to imagine just looking around the wounded and just and shaking your head and saying, them. Get your act together.
Amateurs.
All very River Tam style.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the dead people.
Yeah, and that's it for the film news. Again, a very quiet week, which gives us plenty of time to dive into our discussion with Heather and bring up our guide to the new canon comics.
Yay! So, I guess we start out with, I know you're relatively new to Marvel. Can you tell us of how you got the gig there? And were you always interested in writing and editing? Is it like a career you've always been working toward? And then, I mean, if you've been a geek all your life, I'd imagine, you know, working for Marvel is kind of, you know, dream there.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into like comic culture and things like that, but I never really considered it an option that I could, as a field I could work in until I graduated college. So like actually pursuing comics was relatively new to me. And when I became interested, I was really interested in the editing aspect of it. You know, how the book comes together and working with the creators and the behind the scenes sort of stuff. And so just through I used to do comic reviews and podcasts for a handful of different websites. So through that, I had relationships with different creators and editors. So I reached out to Jordan White, who's now my boss, and just met with him at C2E2, learned a bit about comic editing, what it was, decided it was something I wanted to do. So I just started doing it. I started freelance editing. I put together a comic anthology that did fairly well on Kickstarter, got a bit of hype on there. It's called Unlawful Good, an anthology of crime. So if you want to check that out, you can. Because of my work on that, Marvel saw it and Jordan contacted me and asked me if I wanted to interview. And I said yes. And then I moved across the country and make Star Wars comics.
Wow. That's an awesome story that gives everyone inspiration and hope everywhere about working in awesome fields.
I mean, it's totally possible. Anyone can do it. So if you want to do it, do it.
So what exactly is your role at Marvel, and what sorts of are you working on all of the Star Wars comics? And I know you're working on other properties as well.
Yeah, I am Jordan White's assistant editor. So he is the Star Wars group editor and I work under him. So with that, I work on every single Star Wars comic. So Star Wars, Darth Vader, Kanan, Princess Leia, the new Shattered Empire, Lando, the upcoming Chewie book, all this stuff and all the cool new things that we haven't announced yet. I'm on all of those and I'm also on all of the Deadpool books. So what I do as a system editor is I help cast the books. I read scripts, give notes on scripts, art notes, put the book together, send it to print, do press stuff, my job is to help make the book the very best it can be, solve any issues that come along the way. And with Star Wars stuff, it's especially, a different process because, you know, it's not just Marvel comics, it's a Marvel and Lucasfilm property. So there's, you know, extra steps that go into that process as well.
Cool. So you're working on all of the ongoings. Can you talk about your experiences working on those three particular comics?
It's a dream. It's so much fun. the way I talk about it with people who don't work in comics, is if my biggest problem is trying to figure out what to do with Darth Vader today, I can't really complain. it's so much fun, getting to play in this world and with these characters, and, you know, there's just, it's an interesting and very, cool time to be working in Star Wars because it is new canon. Everything's reset. So anything that has been done, we can tweak, and we can connect the dots between, like we're doing between episode 4 and episode 5 and all these questions that people had about, how did Vader find out that Luke was his son and all these things that it's so much fun. To be a part of this, and especially the Kanan book is so much fun too, because that came out before the first season of Rebels had even finished. So we weren't really sure how it would do, if people would be interested in it. People are loving it, which is awesome and so much fun. And that's another fun area to work in because it isn't quite when the TV show takes place. It's a prequel to that. So again, it's just fun to be a part of these character stories and touch all the, touch the lives of all these fans who love these characters. It's very cool.
I have to say that Darth Vader moment you mentioned is possibly one of my favorite things. I think it was, in the actual Vader comics, since they crossed over those couple of pages that Salvador LaRocca drew, perfection.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a fun process to work on because, both Star Wars and Darth Vader, sorry if you haven't read issue 6 of both.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
those books were being drawn at the same time. So getting the artists to make that scene the same in both books and yet touch upon such different emotions was a very interesting process, but I think it turned out great. And some of my favorite pages that we've done. It's such a powerful moment. It's so cool.
I think my review on that part of Vader was just incoherent flailing at the keyboard. I tried for words, didn't really happen. Oh, yeah. Fair warning. There are spoilers up through Darth Vader number 8. So, because why not? So if you haven't read those yet, be careful. So how did the series and creative team pairings come about? I mean, I'm assuming that it was always on the table to have the flagship Star Wars book. And then, you know, when else, when we launched, there was the Star Wars book, there was Vader, and then there was Leia and Kanan. So did it turn into writers and artists going, pick me, pick me, pick me? Or did you guys come up with, well, I really want to get a Vader book. Who do we think would be a good fit?
It kind of worked that way. When we got the Star Wars books, we, you know, like you said, we obviously knew we wanted a flagship Star Wars title. And what better period to work in with Star Wars than, you know, the Luke Han Leia, the classic Star Wars period. So from there we decided, oh, what's, you know, a good story to go along with this. And we chose Vader because, you know, you never really get his perspective in that time period. And you actually don't get to see him that much. Especially in that first movie. I mean, he's really only on screen for like 15, 20 minutes. So we thought it would be very cool to get inside his head. And with that, you know, we wanted someone who, you know, is really good at getting in the head of villains. And Kieran Gillen is just so excellent at that. If you read some of his independent stuff, like he gets into some really dark places with his character. So we were like, oh yeah, he's the one to go to. And luckily he jumped right on board.
I mean, how do you say no to Star Wars book?
Well, right. Yeah. How do you, you know, unless you don't like Star Wars, in which case, well, you know, I'm judging you.
Oh, totally. I guess the one question ahead. I really, really want to ask is, because when the announcements first came out and I heard that Mark Waid was doing Leia, I got more excited about that than anything else, because he just seemed, after reading his work on Indestructible Hulk, where how he wrote Maria Hill, I was like, perfect. I know a lot of people were second guessing and being like, oh, Mark Waid, oh, it's a guy writing Leia, but I just, whose idea was that to put Mark on that book? Because whoever it was brilliant. If you can tell us.
I'll pass that along. No, I think that was Jordan's idea, I believe. Okay. I'm not 100%. Don't quote me on that. But I mean, we had a collective idea of, you know, these are the writers that we want to put on these books. These are writers who we trust so much with our Marvel characters, who, you know, are so good at staying true to the character, but taking the story out of the box of where you would, you know, expect them to go. And, you know, as you said, like Mark is so good at getting in these characters' heads and in these, you know, unique situations. And especially with that Leia book, you know, we're addressing a situation that is never talked about in the movies, you know. Yeah. Her entire home, planet, family, everything she knew is literally, you know, gone. And it's never addressed. And so that was a very, very cool story to work within. And yeah, I think Mark did an excellent job with that. That was it was such a fun book to work on. I miss it.
Me too. I keep hoping we'll get him to come back and do, you know, an ongoing. I know he's in demand, but I'm going to cross my fingers.
So at San Diego Comic-Con, they announced that there would be a crossover coming up soon with called Vader Down. So it's... Yeah. So the comics have kind of crossed over already with that one moment that we mentioned before. But exactly, especially for people who aren't familiar with comics, can you explain how exactly this crossover will work? And was it always something that was on the table because they are taking place concurrently, pretty much?
I mean, yeah, a crossover was always going to be on the table. You know, in comics, crossovers are a very big part of our industry and how we run things. I think the easiest way to explain it, if you're not familiar with how comics and the comics industry works, is think of it like the Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Iron Man and you have Captain America. Well, Captain America might not be the best idea. Okay, ignore that. You have Iron Man and you have Thor. So these movies are kind of taking place at the same time. They're in the same universe, you know, and you get little hints of things that go back and forth with each other, but you get to see it all come together and how all of these characters in each of these stories interact in this big, you know, universe-wide moment. And that's what this crossover is. It's, you know, everything that we're building towards. Without saying too much, you know, Vader has this plan that he's been putting together under the watch of his adjutants, you know, trying to get help from Aphra. And we're going to see where that leads him. Whereas we see Luke, you know, he's trying to learn what does it mean to be a Jedi? What did Obi-Wan want him to know? Where is he going to go to learn, you know, how to be a Jedi pre-Dagobah? So we're going to see where this takes him, and it might take them to the same spot. it's you know, everything we're building towards coming together in this big epic blockbuster, you know, 6-issue crossover. And I think it's going to be really, really cool. I'm very excited to see what people think of it. We're literally working on the first issue right now. So it's going to be very exciting.
So we also, the Star Wars 7 just came out, and that was a sort of standalone issue with Obi-Wan on Tatooine. And it got really, really good reception. Was there any sort of influence as far as like other, you know, stories about Obi-Wan? Specifically, we love the John Jackson Miller book Kenobi here. And it seemed, you know, kind of to have a very similar vibe as to that book.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we started talking with Jason Aaron about Star Wars and wanting him on this book, right away he was like, well, I want to do Obi-Wan. I want to do something with Obi-Wan. And because the books, you know, the main series takes place after Obi-Wan is no more, we thought it'd be a cool thing to do in between arcs, the first and second arc, to have a cool standalone issue. And yeah, that's where this Kenobi came from. You know, we get to see him in between episodes 3 and 4 and what he's been up to. And, you know, it's interesting. You said, you know, were we influenced by the Kenobi book? And we were influenced in the way that there were things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do because they were in the book. And there were things that, he wanted to do in the book that he couldn't do because we were doing it in the comics. So there was a lot of back and forth with story group on the scripts because, you know, we wanted to each make them be strong on their own without too much crossover. So, it was influenced in the way that it wasn't influenced.
Cool. And what do you have any sort of other any plans for other standalone issues? Because I think there's been a hint that they might have more after the other arcs. Would you ever consider having some with other characters? Maybe can we look forward to that? Maybe.
I mean, we're certainly it's something we've definitely discussed. It's not off the table. We would be very much so interested in doing that. Nothing official is in the works yet. But it's definitely something, you know, especially after this Obi-Wan issue. I've never seen our fan mail explode so much. It was so exciting to get. I think I walked in Wednesday morning when it came out with 50 emails already from like overseas from people who had read it. And it was just so exciting to see it received so well. Cause we weren't sure. It was completely different from what we had been doing, and turned out great. So keep your fingers crossed that we'll be able to do it again.
Definitely. I have to say, if you do another Kenobi, I hope you get the same artist because he was perfect. Absolutely awesome. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. Okay, so the big question on a ton of fans' minds right now is all about Sana, how you pronounce her name? Solo?
Sana.
Okay, there we go. So, A, was the internet reaction about what you guys all expected? And B, was the placement of the Kenobi issue deliberate to make us all wait longer in agony for answers?
Well, I mean, yes and no. The placement of the Kenobi issue was to have a break between arcs, you know? So that's why that was there. Yes, it was built to follow the cliffhanger of the first arc. So I guess you can say it was put there, you know, to keep you guys on your toes.
Definitely.
Right. I mean, it works well. I can't complain.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we knew she was going to get a big reaction. It's the first major game-changing character to come into the new canon in the comics that we've seen. It's a huge moment. It changes a lot of things, but in no way did we expect it to be as big as it got. It was huge. It was huge. I remember we got, you know, letters from higher up at Disney just saying like, wow, guys, good job. Like this was, you know, awesome. And that was like, oh, yay, let's keep doing comics. But yeah, I mean, we made The Hollywood Reporter. Like, The Hollywood Reporter was talking about it, yeah. And all these different, you know,
everyone was talking about it.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, people don't talk about comic books that way. So yeah. It was very cool to be a part of it. It was very cool to see her so well received. You know, Star Wars 8 comes out just around the corner, so you get to see a little bit of the aftermath of you know, what happens. And I'm very excited to see what fans think. She's a great character. Lots of fun things are coming with her. So stay tuned.
Awesome.
I do like that that you guys have added another woman of color into the canon just so smoothly and easily. It's something that Star Wars has lacked at times. So it was nice to see her there. And then speaking of other characters of color, Dr. Aphra is one of my favorite new additions to the Star Wars canon, like overall, probably only second to Hera and Kanan. Can we just talk about how awesome Aphra, she is?
Absolutely. I could talk about Aphra and how awesome she is all day long. It was really funny when Kieran introduced her because she is very close to a Star Wars tabletop character I created like 3 years ago. Like very, very close. So to be able to be a part of like her story and creating this, like me and Kieran go back and forth on emails all the time. It's just like, oh, what if she did this? And what if blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, I get to see, even though she's not mic'd her, but I feel a little piece of her in my heart. but yeah, she's so awesome. She's a kick-ass character. And I love seeing her, you know, go balls to the wall with Vader, you know, like she has this spunk and it's just one of those things that like, oh, don't say that. He's going to kill you. Like he could kill you
literally
at any moment.
Yeah. I'm actually like,
and he won't care at all.
I'm very scared for her because I mean, she's working relatively smoothly with Vader, but I mean, no spoilers, obviously, because we don't want to get anyone in trouble. But like, how long do you think that working relationship can possibly keep going before it results in some choking?
As long as he has use for her, you know, as long as she keeps is useful to her, you know, is useful to him, you know, just like because she is part of that plan that the Emperor doesn't know about, you know, she is under the radar, no one else knows about her, so there's a lot of risk there, so yeah, without saying too much, you know, I want to see her stick around, she's a lot of fun. But you never know.
so wait If let's say the relationship, this just came to me right now. Let's say the relationship ended as amicably as Vader can manage. Who gets custody of the murder bots?
I don't know if I would approach the 000 or BT with custody. I don't think they would like that too much.
I don't know if I'd want them. I don't know if I'd want them hanging around.
Yeah,
they kill you in your sleep.
I mean, right? Exactly. I would hope they would go with Vader because I'd fear for Aphra's life.
Yeah, that's a good point. 000 does remind me of HK-47 a little bit too much sometimes with the murder and the I want to kill everyone thing.
Oh, you just wait.
Yes!
Oh, dear.
I'm so excited.
So with the Kanan comic in particular, a lot of what you're doing now is really weaving into material that Lucasfilm is releasing live. What's it been like to work with the story group, and maybe a better question, how do you collaborate with the story group to get your comics out there?
First and foremost, you know, when we first put things together and as we get around, you know, second arcs, we go to Lucasfilm, we sit down with the story group, and sometimes we'll bring the writers with us too, if it's big story things, and we talk with them about, you know, this is what we want to do. They tell us what they have going on. That way we're up to date with everything in Star Wars universe. And it's a very back and forth process, you know. We both want the Star Wars universe and the stories in it to be as strong as they possibly can be. So we do work very, very closely with them. When we get scripts and art, and you know, we get it in, Jordan and I, we look at it, we add our notes, it gets sent to story group. They look at it, they'll either come back to us and be like, oh no, you can't do that because this contradicts with, you know, something going on in Rebels or something in an upcoming movie. But you can do this instead, and it will tie in with this way. You know, we have a lot of phone conversations, but we do work very, very, very closely with them, which is very cool. Getting to, you know, be inside their heads, and it's insane how much you know, like Pablo and Leland, these guys know. You know, they look at a sketch that's done, and they're just like, oh yeah, no, that can't be that because of this period of Star Wars, that was actually, you know, this version, but what you can do is use this. And they immediately link to a Wikipedia article and, you know, all this reference. And it's just like, how does your brain hold all that information?
Everyone wants to know the answer to that question.
They've got Lobots
right,
in the band.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of fun working with them, you know, and it's very cool to be a part of that process and get the ins and out of the Star Wars universe from, you know, the guys who are making it themselves.
And I know a lot of people who have watched Rebels were really excited about the Kanan comic, and it's, you know, cool to see his backstory and then, you know, watch the show, and it kind of adds even more to it.
Yeah. That's been especially Kanan's a little trickier than the main Star Wars comic, because the main Star Wars comic takes place between movies that have already happened. So the characters, for the most part, have already been pretty developed. It's just figuring out the in-between moments, and that's what we're doing with Lucasfilm. Whereas Kanan, the concept of the character and his relationships are still relatively new. For instance, you know, like I said before, the comic came out before the first series or the first season finished airing. So there was a lot of, there's still a lot of developing that's going on. So as we continue forward, you know, we even deal with Dave Filoni and the people working on the television show. Luckily, our writers, Greg Weissman, who did work on the first season of the show, and he was part of developing Kanan, so it's we do have an inside man already on the creative team, so that helps a lot.
Cool. So you have the Princess Leia miniseries recently ended. There's also the Lando miniseries that's current, and upcoming is Chewbacca. So I know a lot of people wondered why in particular they... you know, these issues or these comics were miniseries versus ongoings. And then are we going to see them continue with more characters? Like, is this going to be like a recurring thing where you have a miniseries focusing on a different character, or is it just kind of a see as you go type thing?
I mean, I think as long as people keep reading them, we'll keep making them, you know, as comics generally go. But yeah, when we first got the Star Wars comics, it was, you know, we knew we wanted the three ongoings, the Star Wars Darth Vader, Kanan for a younger audience. And, you know, as Jordan and I have found out with the Deadpool books, the miniseries can do really, really well. So rather than flood the comics with all these ongoings, we'd like to try some of, you know, these, I mean, Leia is a bad example because she is a main character, but some of the side characters and get to explore them a bit, and give them the attention that the movies couldn't do. And the easiest way to do that is with these 5-issue miniseries. And it's a good way to, you know, get all these different writers and different artists and get different tastes into the Star Wars universe with these side characters and stories to tie everything together in ways that we don't get to see. And it's a lot of fun. Leia was so much fun to do. Lando's a blast. I can't wait to see how people react to the rest of the story. It's pretty exciting. And Chewbacca's a lot of fun, getting to do a character that doesn't speak Basic.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you ever do a Wedge
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, if you ever do a Wedge mini, Nancy and I will buy all the copies.
Yeah. This is our formal request for a Wedge and Tilly's comic.
You don't have to tell me twice.
I know.
We'll be revisiting this one a little later.
We've had this conversation on Twitter.
Yes. Well, aside from the pilot, since we're getting there, if you get to assemble your dream Star Wars comic from like any era, any topic, with whatever writer and artist team you can get, who do you tap and what's it about?
Well, first and foremost, as I've just, you know, said, I would kill to do a Rogue Squadron book. I would kill to do that. And anyone who follows me on Twitter knows I would love to do that. I talk about it all the time. If you want to see a Rogue Squadron book, write to us at StarWars@Marvel.com.
You've heard it here first, people.
Yes.
Yes. Tell the people who make the choices that you want it, and maybe it'll help. I want it to happen, but yeah, I think I would kill for Rogue Squadron book. Dream artist would be Sean Gordon Murphy drawing it. He draws vehicles like none other, and I think he would do a kick-ass X-Wing. And I think for writer, Garth Ennis would be a good choice. He writes really good war stories. So that would be a fun one. Another one that I think would be a lot of fun, and this is bringing back a character who's not exactly canon anymore, but that's okay. I think doing a Revan miniseries would be really cool.
Oh no, yes. You just got Bria's love forever.
I think a Revan series would be a lot of fun. I love what Alex Malev is doing on Lando, and I think he would do a really good Revan story if he were drawing it. And I don't know who for writing. It's a lot of people. I think
it depends on whether or not you're doing male or female Revan.
That's true. That is true. And depends on how dark we really want it to get.
Yeah.
Ooh. There's a lot of different aspects you can take with different writers. I don't know. I'd have to think about that, but I think doing a Revan book would be a lot of fun. Or even a young Palpatine book, seeing like him, like, you know, from his side.
Ooh.
Like see his relationship with Plagueis. I think that'd be cool. A lot of things to play with. I like the villains. I like the bad guys. So I want all those stories.
So I'm going to ask you to pick a favorite child. of the comics you've gotten out so far, which one's your favorite?
of the comics I've gotten out so far. That's good, because there's a lot of cool ones coming up. I don't know. I have to say, I think Darth Vader is my most favorite to work on. I think the characters are just, and I like villains, as I've said before. I think they're a lot of fun, and working with Kieran is so much fun because we talk so gleefully about such evil things that are happening. Like, I giggle. I read 000 and BT and the horrible things that they want to do and are doing, and I giggle. Because I read it as C-3PO's voice in my head, whenever Triple Zero talks.
Oh my goodness, I just got a level of cognitive dissonance that's making me so happy.
So it's Anthony Daniels' voice, like, oh my, can't I just stab him right now? You know, and it's just like this, like, dissonance, and it's so great.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to get inside Vader's head and see what he's doing. And Salvo Roca's killing on art. Edgar Delgado is doing amazing color work with that book. It's so much fun. Yeah, and I'm excited for, you know, where it's all going to lead with Vader down. Good stuff is happening. So a lot of fun. But all the books are great. All the books are such a pleasure to work on. And they each bring something completely different to the table for any Star Wars fan. So I like the evil child the best, though.
Cool. So upcoming is Journey to the Force Awakens. We know about all the books, and Shattered Empire is coming out. What, if anything, are you allowed to tell us about Shattered Empire, or are you just allowed to tell us how excited you're going to be about it?
I mean, I am excited about it. I'm literally putting it to print tomorrow.
Ooh.
The first issue. Yeah. So awesome. It's very real right now. Yeah. So the biggest thing that we want to explore, because this is, you know, post 6, pre 7, is how big of a universe the Star Wars universe is. So there's a lot of new characters that we're going to be introduced to. To see, you know, just how far the Empire has touched and how it's affecting the universe and how status quos are changing. I'm very curious to see how people are going to react to the different stories, including the Journey to the Force Awakens, all the novels and everything. We've been keeping up to date with them at Marvel. So I've got to get a sneak peek at those as well. And it's really expanding the universe in a very exciting way. And I can't wait for people, you know, to read all of them and see how they all tie together and how it all brings us to The Force Awakens. It's a very, very exciting time for the Star Wars universe. And, you know, it's just around the corner when you guys get to see it. So I can't wait.
I don't know if you can tell us this or not, but does Shattered Empire, does it take place around the same time as Star Wars Aftermath, or is that something you can't really answer?
It takes place, you get to, yes and no. We time hop a little. You do get to see a bit of the Battle of Endor, so we start literally at the end of episode 6.
Well, I know what I'm doing really on midnight.
Okay. It ties you all in. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so for the most part, yeah, I think you get to see a little bit of stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I guess we are all going to be very, very busy at midnight on September 4th.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we don't have anything going on that day, guys.
I know, right? We're just...
It's not like the three of us have to be on any panels at a large Atlanta area convention that day.
No, not at all.
I was going to say, it's a Saturday, isn't it? The 4th? It's
No, it's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
Is it a Friday? It's yep. a Friday. Oh, even worse.
It's a Friday. It's first day of Dragon Con.
Yep.
Oh, yep. That's a toughie.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to be dead around 10 at the latest.
So, yeah, if you're at the Star Wars track room and you see zombie-looking panelists, yeah, we apologize.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thankfully, I don't have any till Saturday.
God. I've got three.
It's worth it, though. I'll tell you guys, it is worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm planning on having a 2 liter of Coke that night, just consuming it and staying up to read everything.
I think the Starbucks is open 24/7.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
So do you have a favorite Legends comic and or book?
I like the I'm going to butcher the name of the book. Heir to the Empire, the Thrawn trilogy. I like the Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy a lot. That's a fun one. Thrawn's a really cool character. The Chiss as a species is really cool. And I want to bring him back. I want to make sure these guys are canon again. Because the Chiss are just kick-ass. And unfortunately, they don't venture off their planet too much. So I don't know if that'll be a thing. But
they might in the new canon.
Yeah.
They might. This is true. Anything is possible. So their planet might no longer exist and they live somewhere else. I don't know.
The planet could move.
Right. It could. And it might be in the inner core now. Who knows?
I would like to point out that my dogs are named Mara and Jade. Just saying, those are perfect. Some really nice names that you might want to use.
They're not terrible. Not terrible.
are we subtly mentioning character names we like to see back?
Yeah, why not?
Winter. I'd like to see Winter. You know, it's a great season. Great name.
There you go. Okay. And,
Tycho Brahe is one of my favorite astronomers.
We have no subtlety.
Keep it subtle, guys. Keep it subtle.
You know us. So just completely switch gears, like completely. The comic book industry tends to come under fire a lot for being, you know, a fairly male-dominated field. And I know we've seen the work of women like Laura Martin, Rachel Dodson, Jordi Belair on inks and colors on some of the books. But will we get to see any woman writing or drawing a Star Wars comic soon? And just to clarify, this is not at all a knock at the hard work that everyone involved in the creation of a comic does. I know that a letterer, you know, editor, colorist, and inkers, they are all incredibly crucial. But we haven't seen any woman taking the top two, I guess, billing slots yet.
Well, never say never. We do have a lot of books that haven't been announced yet with a lot of great creators on them. And it's definitely something, you know, that Jordan and I have been aware of with these initial launches. Without saying too much, there's some very exciting announcements coming soon that I think people will be very pleased with.
Awesome.
Yay. We're very appreciative that it is something that you guys actually listen to and not just say, oh, you know, that you're actually listening to what people are saying and taking their concerns and into effect. Because I'd imagine that, you know, it's something that you want as well, you know, as being a woman in the comics industry. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's a bit off topic, but one of the cool things, you know, at Marvel right now is like how many female editors we have. And, you know, if you look back just a few years ago, that was a totally different picture. So it is the comic industry, believe it or not, is slowly changing. And you know, we're getting more and more of a female presence, and I'm very excited that that's slowly happening to the Star Wars universe as well. It's very exciting. So yeah, stay tuned. Some cool announcements that will be coming in the next few months that I think people will really like.
Awesome. And so we're just going to end our discussion by going back to our favorite topic of conversation, Rogue Squadron. And so we have to ask some of your favorites. Do you have a favorite character of Rogue Squadron?
I like Wedge.
That's a good answer.
I mean,
it's a safe answer. It's a good answer.
Who doesn't? Yeah, no. He's awesome. And yeah, like if we went back to like my dream comic book and team with, you know, doing the Rogue Squadron book, I would want Wedge to be the starring character. Like, you know, you could have Luke, maybe, it depends on when the book takes place, but I think it'd be cool to have, you know, a lesser known character like that, like really take the reins and drive a book. And I think you could get some good perspective from him.
He's a
cool dude.
I'll also put in my desire for seeing Luke in Rogue Squadron, just a little bit, because he as a pilot is really never shown, and it makes me sad. Pilot Luke is my favorite.
That's
Luke.
True. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Rogue Squadron book,
or any X-wing
or any book? X-wing book? Really? Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, that's tough.
We do that all the time.
We have the old omnibuses from like the Dark Horse run. Nice. All the old Rogue Squadron stuff. So those are, you know, you flip through those from time to time. I don't know. Gosh, so much pressure now.
Did you read the novels too, or just the comics?
I haven't read the novels. I'm very slowly catching, and it's like the worst time to be like getting into the older Star Wars novels, because I haven't read a lot of the Legends novels. I was always more so into the comics. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm reading them, and being an editor on the new canon, it's terrible to be reading so much old stuff because it's confusing. Because in my brain, I'll be like, you know, I'll be working on a script, you know, that Jason Aaron sits in, and I'll be like, no, this can't work. This is conflicting with, never mind, that doesn't count anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine we all would suggest that you read the books when you get a chance.
Yes.
Oh, so. I have, my fiance is a big collector of the old Star Wars novels, and he has a ton of them. Slowly picking them off one by one.
And if you don't have time to read them all, I suggest you can just skip ahead and read Starfighters of Adumar, and still get it. And it's the most hilarious Star Wars book you will ever read in your entire life. It's amazing.
And then make Jordan read it, and then he'll see that you need to do a Rogue Squadron mini.
I'm trying. Guys, tweet Jordan Wright.
We will.
And tell him you want.
Everyone do it right
Rogue
now.
Rogue Squadron book. Right now. Write us at StarWars.Marvel.com and tell us you want a Rogue Squadron book.
I mean, you could have.
It'll be kick-ass and awesome, and everyone needs more X-Wings.
You could have Rogue Squadron in every era of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You'd have during the original trilogy, the sequel trilogy era. I mean, we don't really know anything about Poe Dameron and his crew, but, I mean, they're in X-Wings. It can work.
I mean, we have a movie called Rogue One coming out. I mean, come on, guys.
Exactly.
We need a Rogue Squadron.
If I need to, I'll send a master's thesis on why you need a Rogue Squadron.
It can't hurt.
It'll be like in the Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne kept sending letters of requesting funds for the library for 10 years until they finally just sent him a whole bunch of books. It'd be just like that.
Exactly.
See, I've been saying we need a Race Squadron book.
Yes.
And I actually told Jordan that at Celebration, and I didn't know how to interpret the look on his face. To be fair, I also followed that up with, you need a Race Squadron book, and the only person crazy enough to write it is Sam Humphries. Please do this. Please do this. And he just kind of was like, okay. Which, if you get a chance to read the Wraith books, I think you will also really, really like those because they are the Rogues, but much, much crazier.
Yeah,
I'm literally writing these things down.
Yes.
Well, and we were also, you know, talking about other older, you know, Legends characters before, and I keep saying it, like, Mara Jade's my favorite character, but the character I most want to come back is Tycho, because thinking of Star Wars without him is just weird. Like, because I see him in the movies, even though he's not there. I've read the books, and you know, it's like him, Wedge, Wes, and Javi. They're like four all together, and like they can't be three together. They need to be all four of them. So that's my pitch for Tycho. Although our friend says that Tycho is now Evan.
Gender swap.
Yeah. I'd like Evan and Tycho to hang out. That would be a cool story.
That would be. And then
just them hanging out, just, you know, just chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flying the wings. So yeah. We've reached the throwing things at the wall part of the podcast, so I think we've wrapped it up.
No, wait a minute. I just thought of another reason.
Oh, no.
Read the Rey Squadron books. Because you're an Ewok fan, aren't you? I feel like I saw something. You said something about Ewoks. Yes. On Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, no. Promise. That was a fun moment because I was so ready to lose like 1,000 followers for that. And I actually gained like 100 followers for saying I liked Ewoks. So, you know, whatever. It was weird. It was a weird night. I got a lot of weird posts that night.
Well, since you like Ewoks, the Rey Squadron, yes, books will deliver for you.
Yes.
Spades. And I will not ruin it for you.
Yep.
But
yep.
Just trust me when I say.
Yep. Yep.
Yup, yup, Commander.
Yup, yup, Commander.
Yeah, so read books 5, 6, 7, and 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you could read Mercy Kill and cry.
No, don't do that to your, don't do that to her. That's terrible. Why would you do that to someone?
Because it's a good book.
It is, and it kills everyone. Like, all of the readers, metaphorically.
Oh, yeah. So before we leave, any last words? You know, obviously you can't really talk a lot about what's coming up, but if you can just, you know, hype us up for the comics.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a fan of comics or a fan of Star Wars, you should probably read them. I don't know. There's just something that's, I think, is so cool with the Star Wars comics, in that there is something for everyone. If you're a fan of the, you know, evil, dark stuff, you have Darth Vader. If you're a fan of the classics, you know, Star Wars movie feel, you have the main book. If you like Rebels, you know, we have a book for you. And then we have all the mini series featuring all these different characters and telling all these different aspects of these characters and their stories and tying things together, that I think it's such a cool time to be a Star Wars fan. Especially with the new movie coming out, especially with Shattered Empire coming out, that's going to bridge the gap between, you know, what we know of Star Wars and what yet is still to come. And I'm so excited about this stuff that you guys, I really want you guys to be just as excited. And then tell us to make a Rogue Squadron book. So we can be excited about that too.
First thing in the morning, we're going to be starting a sustained TSR
letter writing campaign.
What's a Rogue Squadron series campaign?
We should write a form letter, post it on the blog, and just let everyone copy and paste it.
Well, okay. Here's my question. When will this be live?
Probably tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, perfect. So Monday morning, I better have 100 emails.
Oh, I'm tweeting right now.
Rogue Squadron book.
I am tweeting right now.
While we plan our 2016 line.
Ooh. Awesome.
Tweet sent.
And that's all I'm saying.
So where can we find you online? Where can people email Marvel and tweet your boss about Rogue Squadron comics?
I'm pretty easy to find on Twitter. It's just Heather Antos, just my name, just as it sounds. So yeah, at Heather Antos. You can email us at Marvel, StarWars@Marvel.com. Tell us what you love, what you hate, what you want, Rogue Squadron. And then my boss, if you want to tweet him about how much you like Rogue Squadron and would like a comic about it, it's Jordan D. White. His Twitter name is Crackshot, but instead of the letter O, it's the number 0. So tweet him and yeah, talk Star Wars. Feel free to reach out to us on Tumblr. We love interacting with the fans and answering any questions you guys have about the comics or Star Wars in general. And yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Absolutely. Anytime. This was a blast. Thanks, guys.
Yay. And open invitation to join us on the new Tabletop
yes,
podcast.
Yes, definitely.
Any, you guys set that up and are trying to like, you know, plan things out, reach out to me. I played tabletop Star Wars games for 2-3 years, you know, out of college, and it was the best time of my life. I still have my old character sheets. If you dig through my Twitter, we actually have some character sketches that were drawn out of some of our D&D characters that you can find on there. Yeah, let me know. I would love to play. It would be a blast.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up there. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site and help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are at the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thank you for listening to another episode. Join us next week for a D23 wrap-up.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.